April is here, and if your windows won't open for fresh air or seal tight to keep out pollen and bugs, then talk to Window Nation. Right now, for every two windows you buy, you'll get two free. There's no limit to how much you can save. Plus, save even more with no interest or payments for 24 months. With proven quality, you'll get affordable windows that meet or beat the national brands. Don't miss out. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com to schedule your free in-home estimate.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Gamble. All right, our next guest, Elliot Short Parks, is brought to us today by Colonial Hyundai. The fast, easy, better way to buy a Hyundai. Shop 24/7 at ColonialHyundai.com, and a lot to talk to Elliot about. Good morning, Elliot.
What's going on? How you guys doing?
Quite a bit, man. Super. We got Jimmy Butler in the finals. I was rooting for him, but unfortunately, he's not a 76er. We got Nicky Nurse now coaching the Sixers. Phil's with the split. But sort of under the radar news, Elliot, over the weekend, but it could play a huge part in the Eagles season, was DeAndre Hopkins being released by the Arizona Cardinals. Look, I love, obviously, the concept of DeAndre Hopkins joining the Eagles if you need him, but I don't think they need him. I think they could use defenders more and put money into that before the season starts. Where do you stand on the feasibility and the likelihood? And the Eagles have the cap space. There's no doubt about that. Feasibility and likelihood of the Eagles landing DeAndre Hopkins.
So they do have the cap space. They have around $13 million, you know, with the way Howie structures contracts, they definitely have the room to bring him in. I just don't know why DeAndre Hopkins would want to come here. I would give him a chance to win, so there's that argument.
It would give him a great chance to win. I will say
right,
that.
He would be doing it from the bench. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins is not going to be the number one or two receiver here. We could sit here and debate if he's better than either of those two, but he's not going to come in and take snaps from A.J. Brown or Devontae Smith. Dallas Goedert is, in a lot of ways, their number three receiver. He is obviously one of the better receiving tight ends in the league, so he's probably not going to take snaps or targets from him. You know, Quez Watkins, obviously DeAndre is better than him, but they really like that Quez has speed in that role. Like, that slot guy, they like to stretch the field. I don't know if that's DeAndre Hopkins. So, for me, the best argument for bringing in DeAndre would be twofold. One, if A.J. or Devontae go down, you know, God forbid, with a long-term injury, then you really need him all of a sudden. It becomes a massive need. But really the best might be, and this speaks to where the Eagles are at, if teams like Buffalo or Kansas City or, you know, Dallas are looking to sign him, it might be worth the money just to keep him away from them, right? So I get your point about the defense. I am always going to invest in offense. I just don't think with the money they have left, you are going to get enough from DeAndre Hopkins for what it's going to cost to bring him in.
Wow. I don't agree. And the speed thing, you can still have a speed guy while having a better slot receiver on the field for most of those plays. What about the other skill spots during these team activities, Elliot? The running back position, have you seen any emergence through the first few weeks? Like, who's the starter for this team?
So unfortunately, we have not been able to watch a full practice at all, or really, you know, any practice besides when the rookies were there. I'm hoping this week we'll get that chance, but at which point, you're right, the running back position and how they handle that is going to be very interesting to see. Obviously, in past years, they've had a clear number one running back in Miles Sanders. If you look at Nick Sirianni's history as both a play caller and a head coach, he has preferred a dominant number one running back. He's never been a running back by committee type of guy. Now, this year with this depth chart, that seems to be where they are headed. DeAndre Swift has been a bit of a dominant number one in terms of touches, but he's had trouble staying healthy, as has Rashard Penny. And, you know, Kenny Gainwell and Boston Scott have never shown they could be anything more than part-time back. So are the Eagles going to go with a running back by committee, or do you think Sirianni's going to stick with, like, a number one guy? That's what I'm looking to find out when we get to watch these practices. Who's going up first with the offense? How are the touches distributed? But realistically, it's probably not something we'll find out until training camp, when they really have to start getting these reps in.
Elliot Shore Parks with us here. Elliot, let's go back to the DeAndre Hopkins thing. Two-part question. The first is, how much money do you think it'll cost to sign him for a year? Like, what would the one-year money be? You know, even if it's a two- or three-year deal, what's the per year? The second question, do you expect, how he's done this maybe about half of his seasons as GM, do you expect him to either sign or trade for a player that right now is not on the roster but will be a week one starter? A lot of positions defensively that could apply, or perhaps offensive guard. Do you expect one more starter to be added that is currently not on the team?
So I think the chances are slimmer, and I'll take the second part of that first. I think the chances are slimmer than most years that they're going to trade for a starter. And that's just because when you look at it, there's just simply not a lot of spots. I think the only spot where they would trade for a guy that week one, snap one is on the field, and that's linebacker. I really think they want to give their safeties a chance. You know, if you get to week two or three and they're really struggling before the deadline, maybe you bring someone in. Clearly, if they have a terrible training camp, they would maybe do something there. But Sidney Brown, Blankenship, Edmonds, I think they like that group a lot more than other people. So I think there'll be a little bit of a longer leash in allowing them to get used to the roles and not make a move for a starter. Linebacker is different. They got really good linebacker play last year. And if you look at the rest of the defense, there's not a lot of other spots where they need help. Maybe, you know, backup edge rusher, maybe a little bit on the interior. But in terms of a starter, I think linebacker is where he would do it. The issue is they don't commit a lot of resources to linebacker. So I think the chances of him making a big-time impact trade for a starter are probably relatively slim. Now, with DeAndre Hopkins, in terms of money, with $13 million, they normally like to bring around $10 million into the season. It allows them to make moves like they did for Sue and Linval Joseph if they need it midway through the year. What would Hopkins get per year? Maybe $8, $9 million. I mean, if he really wants to win, maybe he takes a little less to go to a serious contender. But if you remember, he signed James Bradbury to a one-year $10 million deal last year, and the cap it was around $2.5, $3 million. So the per-year average, I think, will probably be around $10 million. But his cap hit, if he were to come here, is going to be small, in my opinion.
Well, that's amazing. I mean, $8 or $9 million for DeAndre Hopkins, it sounds like there's no question you should do that. I mean, that sounds like a lock it in.
But but would you give $8 or $9 million to the fourth option on offense?
He's the third or the second option on offense.
Plus, doesn't that make it harder for them to re-sign players during the season that they could re-up for future years?
But the other thing I think to consider here is, going into this year, one of the toughest parts of this season is going to be managing the egos and managing coming off that Super Bowl, right? Devontae Smith is in a contract year. A.J. Brown, last year he seemed okay with maybe not getting dominant number one type targets, but in the playoffs, remember, there was a little bit of not getting the ball enough. Dallas Goedert, he likes to be involved in the offense. You have two running backs you just brought up that are both in contract years. That's a lot to manage in terms of touches, snaps, targets, all those things. DeAndre Hopkins might want to win. He can say all the right things. But if he comes in here and he's not getting a ton of targets, he's going to be upset. Or if he's taking targets from Devontae, how's Devontae going to feel about that? So I get, on a basic scale, it's DeAndre Hopkins. You just bring him in and you figure it out. But there's going to be so much locker room kind of issues, I think, to navigate for Nick Sirianni this year, that this will just make it more complicated.
Moving on to the Sixers, Elliot, how likely is it Nick Nurse can improve this team, motivate Joel and James Harden, move out of the second round?
I think it's likely. If you look at the kind of the recent history of Nick Nurse and the Sixers, on a large scale, you could look and go, The Raptors have overachieved, and the Sixers have probably underachieved. Mm. And I think that's because Nick Nurse has gotten the most out of his roster. I am not a big Pascal Siakam fan. Fred VanVleet, I think, is okay. They have not had star-level players since Kawhi left. But if you look at Nick Nurse's time, the first year he was head coach, overachieves, wins the title that year. The second year he was a head coach, Kawhi leaves. Everybody says they're not going to be any good. Overachieve, they get the number two seed. A few years later, he beats his over-under by 13 wins. So consistently, Nick Nurse has taken expectations, and he's passed them. And I think that's something that, while we could debate how successful the Sixers has been, the general feeling is they should have gotten more out of this roster than they have over the last few years. So I do believe Nick Nurse will come in and make them a better team because he's consistently gotten the most, if not more than expected, out of his talent.
Elliot, one more just back to the Eagles. Curious as we make the move to June here soon. What's the flow up ahead? I know we start entering OTA period. When does what happen? Who's in town? How does it go?
Yeah. So the offseason used to be one of my favorite times of the year because, to your point, there were constant changes, right? First, they were doing this, and then there'd be a mandatory minicamp, and then they'd have a three-day camp where I'd get to go watch. The reality of how they do this now is there's just not much going on at the NovaCare. They're working hard. I'm not trying to diminish the work they're doing, but they don't have a mandatory minicamp. I mean, it's just they take the offseason relatively light. So in terms of what's happening, it's kind of the same thing that's been happening. They're doing on-the-field work. They're doing meetings. They're doing those type of things. But until training camp comes, there's just not going to be those hard practices where, you know, we're seeing 40, 50 throws from Jalen and those type of things. That's how they choose to do it without having a mandatory minicamp.
And is that related to a new CBA, or did they strike one of those player coach deals like they did a couple years ago? John Ritchie's favorite, when the players and was that Doug or was that Nick? Like, you know
Nick,
what?
It was Nick.
I'm going to cut a deal with the players. We're not going to have a mandatory camp. So Which is it, Elliot? Is it per NFL rules or just an Eagles side agreement?
Well, probably more Eagles. Obviously, with the new CBA, and I'm sure Richie can speak to this too in his days. I mean, it's a little different than it used to be, right?
They don't do much.
So there's that involved. But, yes, it is Eagles related as well. Nick Sirianni, I believe it was last year or maybe the year before, kind of struck a deal with his player leaders and said, look, we're not going to do a mandatory minicamp. Let's get good attendance throughout this thing. And I think that was a smart move because they do have a lot of guys down there at the NovaCare that might not have been there otherwise until the mandatory minicamp. So it's a little bit of both. It's the CBA taking it light on the players, but also it's the Eagles saying, come in this whole month, get into meetings, learn the playbook, and then you know, we won't do a physical, grueling kind of mandatory minicamp that a lot of other teams do.
Elliot, great work as always, bud. We look forward to talking to you. Did you have a good Memorial Day?
I did. It was fun. Went out, did some things. So a little tired, but excited to be back to work.
All right, good deal. Elliot, thanks, buddy.
Yep, talk to you guys.
All right,
thanks,
man.
Elliot.
Appreciate it.